Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Greetings and salutations! Welcome to Company. It's just called Company today. It's just the company. Because it's me, your host and your hero, Kevin Cerino, alongside David Cobb from CBS Sports. What's up, Cobb?
Hey, man. Good to see you. You know, the company is uniting today. And I like the fact that you did your own thing with the greetings and salutations. You didn't try to do Jeffrey's welcome, welcome, welcome. You said, you know what? I'm my own guy. I'm going to do my own thing. And if Jeffrey wants to leave this chair open, then you're going to take it and take it in the direction you want to go. So I appreciate that, Kevin.
I was giving like no notes here. Like there was Jeffrey was like, I'm going out of town with the family. I'll see you later. And so, yeah. So here we are. It's the company today. It's exciting because like you are here every single Thursday. I'm here every Wednesday. We never get to cross paths. Of course, you're also on 929 almost every other day of the week. What's your off day?
Tuesday, you cannot hear me on these airwaves on Tuesday, but you can
hear
me.
What do you do on Tuesdays? Do you grab the baby and just start talking sports?
Well, I go to the golf course and talk sports. But yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with our good pal Gabe Kuhn, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright, and this Thursday here with you, Kevin.
That's a good point about golf. Next week is the golf tournament. I might have to get you to...
It's coming up, man.
Update me on some storylines and stuff I need to focus on or who I need to be watching out for. For this golf tournament. We gave away tickets this morning on the other side of the glass. The producer of this program, he is part of the company, I guess, too. George Ruggiero. What's up, George?
How's it going? I guess
trivia host and trivia loser now.
Trivia loser, definitely. 0-1 after this morning, which is fine. Again, that's why, you know what? It's like with coaches. If you can't play coach, if you can't play host. That's how it goes.
Oh,
right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Like teachers, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do teach.
I mean, George, you might have lost trivia, but like you won radio today, 3 shows in a row. Like you hit that applause button for yourself, man. Like, I mean, yeah. Really
Don't
impressive.
Worry. The real accomplishment will be getting up for Calkins tomorrow. That'll be the real accomplishment.
You got a trivia tonight?
Do. Yes, at Dan McGinnis in South Haven.
George is doing 7 hours of radio and then very short break and going to work every night this week, right? Yeah, your work day is long.
Yeah. Because it was yesterday.
It was mine this week.
I was about to say, for you, definitely. yeah, last night was the same thing, except we had music bingo, which I guess is a little bit less intensive than
It's more relaxed because you can use
trivia.
Your phone for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get to just walk around and kind of hang
hey,
out.
Hey, so when you do trivia, do you police the team's phone usage? Are you like, do you go around and say, hey, man, put your phone away? Like,
well, of course, we do have the rule that, hey, make sure you... put your phones away while you have an active answer card, because otherwise we do need them to go over to the website, to CerritoTrivia.com, make sure they're up to speed, up to date on everything we have going on with Cerrito Entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis has got a great trivia community. Most people who come out, they don't cheat, but we very much encourage just the see something, say something policy of like, let your host know. Because when you're hosting trivia, I mean, you're also the referee in the game, as you point out, David. Like, he's got to enforce the rules and entertain the crowd and keep the score. So there's a lot going on. but and play the music. You're a DJ, you know, DJ as well. George's great music taste. But what? Here's what we got going on. Eric Hasseltine's joining us today. He's here every week. This is a exciting Grizzlies topics to talk to him about here at the on the last day of July.
Yeah, we actually got news yesterday relative to the Grizzlies, which you don't always expect, like significant NBA news that specifically affects your local franchise to drop in late July. But here we are. Grizzlies are going to Europe.
Right. So Eric Hasseltine's got to get his passport ready, heading to Germany, and he's going to go to London, and along with the Grizzlies. We'll talk to him about what he thinks about that, because it also it canceled MLK Day. We still get that day off work now, right? Right? That's not going to be an issue, is it? We're still all going to be off work. It's just canceling the game, right?
I might just have to ask Brad. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, what is ML? I mean, it's just crazy to think about that day in this city without that game, right? Like that's gonna be weird to grapple with, and that's the downside of it. But I mean, it's cool they're going to Europe. Like, don't get me wrong, it's just unfortunate the timing of it.
I wish we could have it all, and it's not a situation where you're like, I want to have my cake and eat it too or whatever. It's just like, no, like, y'all want us to go to Europe? That's great, we could do that, but we'll also do the tradition of, I just can't imagine the NFL telling the Lions, like, you can't play on Thanksgiving this year because you're going to, no, they send Jacksonville, right? They just, they'll send Jacksonville over there.
But it's a tradition.
Right. So we got that coming up later on. We've got lots to get into because the Davidson Studio, this is a unique show today. We'll get into the list and all that. All the usual stuff's going to be happening. A little less chaotic today. We beefed up security. Ooh. Hopefully no interruptions.
Yesterday.
Yeah, after they was wild. But
what happened?
David seems confused.
What happened?
We had an interruption, let's just say that, mid-show.
Check out the podcast. That's Jeffrey also will tell you to check out the podcast anytime on the Odyssey app. We're now on the iHeartMedia app or something. What are we on now? What's the new app?
We're not just on Odyssey, the app, anymore. You can also find that just on odyssey.com. We are also now on iHeart and the TuneIn app, so if you have those, make
back,
sure
you go
over
I think
there.
It's returned to some of those, but yeah. You're wherever you're listening, welcome to the show. You're in good hands today.
We do not have Hunter Havoc just running in here and acting up today.
Oh, okay. I think I understand what happened.
But let's get into it. There's people still talking about all of the news from yesterday. So we're kind of with you here, David, and I know you got to talk to Gabe for a minute about it yesterday, but I'm curious, since you're here, because you're one of them, you know, you're a national figure.
Wow. Thank you.
Right? At CBS. CBS. Before canceling, y'all don't know this, before canceling The Late Show, they asked David Cobb if he would be the new host. He turned it down, and they said, well, crap.
I mean, sorry, you know, I'm under a non-compete here with Jeffrey Wright and company. I mean, there's nothing I can do.
It. Yeah. He was going to replace Colbert, so they just said, we'll cancel. But the... but when you travel around a lot, right? You're the college football, college basketball writer for CBS. And the news this week about the Redbirds doing stadium renovations, finally getting some city money and some city funds, about $55 million. And they're talking about doing a mixed-use complex along with it. And that's always been kind of something people assume the Grizzlies are looking for in their new lease with the city, which is yet to be signed. Still got 4 years left. But it's building a mixed-use project downtown,
right,
of some sort. And I throw this to you, like, what do you think they're talking about when they do this? Because I go out of town, you go to St. Louis, you see Ballpark Village, mm-hmm. and you see they've got all types of stuff over there, more than just restaurants. You can live there and all that. Like, looks like there's offices, there's a gym, there's all types of things at these places. Does it make sense? Is it realistic for Memphis to have something like that? And always compare those little areas. I think Disney did it first, right? Like, you have downtown Disney, you have City Walk at Universal.
Right.
We have it at Graceland now. If you ever haven't been to Graceland, across the street from Graceland, like, your own little, like, fake street that you make, right? You just make your own fake street that people never drive on unless they're delivering something. That's kind of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So, fun fact on Graceland, my grandfather's cousin sold Graceland to the Presley family.
What?
I don't know if y'all knew that. I've probably said that on this air at some point over the years, but in case you didn't know, look it up. Charles Cobb was married to Ruth Moore. Anyway, he married up, and I didn't get any of this money that apparently was part of the transaction. But yes.
Have y'all been upstairs?
I've actually never been to Graceland.
Never been.
I've never been. I need to go.
Whoa.
I need to go. But no, I mean, I think so. You think
you do need to go, by the way. If you're a Memphian out there and you still like wear it as a badge of pride that you've never been to Graceland, like get over yourself at this point.
I'm not proud of it. You just said
you need to go. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners out there.
Like, I'm embarrassed.
Just go.
Like, when
just
you
go.
Travel the sure. country and you tell people you're from Memphis, the first yeah. thing they bring up is Elvis. The first thing, you can be on the West Coast, you can be in Europe, it doesn't matter. You're from Memphis. Right. Oh, well, they'll either be like, Elvis, oh, or that's Tennessee, Jack Daniels. And I'm like, nah, it's not exactly, like, that's not exactly what Memphis is known
Jack
for. You know, I don't roll into Memphis and be like, oh, yeah, the home of Jack Daniels. That's not exactly the vibe. But if you're from other parts of the world, maybe that's what
you think. I guess you haven't been across the street from Graceland either. But they have kind of made their own little area that resembles. Have any of y'all been to? I know Eric has been to Disney quite a few times. We're gonna ask Hasseltine about it.
Yeah, I was down in Orlando. Like, I was down there recently. Yeah,
you know, like the City Walk. They just created their own little like
the downtown Disney like vibe or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I envision because that's what I see next to all of these ballparks and stadiums. Right?
Yeah,
do you see that as you travel the country?
That's the theory now. That's the whole idea. Is don't just build a stadium. In the 80s and the 90s, we just built stadiums and put massive parking lots around them and said, all right, y'all come drive your cars to this right. stadium, get here 30 minutes before the game, pay $40 for parking, go to the game, purchase everything you could ever want to purchase inside the stadium, and then get back in your car and drive back to the suburbs, right? That was the ballpark model. Late 70s, 80s, 90s.
Which really exists. A lot of cities, I don't know, maybe it's Philadelphia. I know you see these cities on TV. They're like all three of their stadiums are like, they've got a baseball, football, and all. It's all next to each other with parking lots.
Yeah. That was Oakland, California, Oakland? Where the Warriors used to play, where the used to play.
And the Raiders in the
play.
Same, yeah, the building.
Clearly, it hasn't worked out very well for them in the long term. That's also the Los Angeles Angels. I was at a game out there a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm not joking you, man. This is a stadium dropped into a parking lot, and it's hideous, right? And there's nothing. You want to go to a restaurant?
I was by there recently. They had a brewery kind of close to the Angels.
I mean, but you can't walk to anything, and that's the whole idea now, is to make it a day-long experience if you want to choose that, right? Right. Like, obviously, you bring your kids to the ballpark. Like, maybe you just want to go to the game, but especially if it's a weekend, the idea, and it all intertwines with the Forum and with AutoZone Park, because obviously this week we got news about not just AutoZone Park, but some of the development plans in and around AutoZone Park, and it's close enough to the Forum to where this all intertwines. And the beautiful thing about the Memphis Athletics setup there with AutoZone Park and with the FedEx Forum is it's already anchored by Beale Street. So, you know, you mentioned like the Battery in Atlanta, and sort of they just made a street and forced businesses in around there with various tax incentives or whatever. Well, like, you don't necessarily have to do that.
Those are many of those are not really even streets because you never, ever drive on them.
Right. Right. Well, and you don't really drive on Beale Street either. You backflip down Beale Street. But, so you got Beale Street there already.
You have Beale Street there, which is called an entertainment district. But I mentioned yesterday, like, it's not really a district. It really is a street with FedEx Forum and the Orpheum. That's what it is. Like, it's not a district.
But when I hear mixed use, I think of like apartments, which there are apartments now almost across the
Pretty
street
close.
From the Forum already. But yeah, it's apartments. It's green space. I think that's a huge part of it too. Like trees and grass, like in places for people to walk, and that's it's got to be well manicured and well maintained. But I think of this, like, if the Grizzlies are able to get a new lease done, which might not happen this summer, apparently, you know, there was some talk about that, but in the relatively near future, before it expires in 2028-2029, and the AutoZone Park is going to be getting a facelift right now, you're talking about renovating and enhancing basically the entire east end of downtown. And I think that's pivotal, right? Because we got to get people back downtown. Like, I don't know if it's a generational thing and we're just getting old and we hang out other places now, but it feels like the center of the social gravity has continued to shift east. Whereas, like, when I was in college in my early 20s and I was back in town, I was living here full time between 2018 and 2021. Like, I lived downtown, I hung out downtown. You know, now it's like gonna hang out with my buddies. We're gonna go somewhere probably more like East Memphis or whatever, right? And I don't know, maybe that's just the generational thing that always happens. But the one way to do that, one way to get people back downtown, is to make it attractive with these mixed use developments, because Beale Street's a party vibe, right? Like, you don't always want the party vibe. Like, if you want to go somewhere a little bit quieter and then be able to walk over to the Grizzlies game, South Main, it's kind of stretching it. That'd be a 3/4 mile walk, I guess, which on a hot day is not for everybody. So the more and more mixed use sort of stuff you can put down there, the better. And I'm glad to see that there's some momentum around making that stuff happen.
The I wonder how realistic it is. Like, what would we need when you see these, like, to make this happen? You said green space. I do think apartments, having people, like, live closer. Anything to me is better than these vacant lots, right? And if I'm the Grizzlies and I've been here, been at FedEx Forum since 2005, nothing has been built around that building since it opened in 2005. The Westin and what was then the Gibson Guitar opened at the exact same time. And then there's just been vacant lots around there. And then there was stuff close to AutoZone Park that was torn down and it became vacant lots, right? There's too many vacant lots. And hotels, right? You could you get another hotel? Memphis has got so many hotels, but like, is the money there? Because everybody's talked about the Big 12 and how we have that $200 million offer. There's only a certain amount of money that the city has, and only a certain amount of money that the corporate entities have to give to the city. And I wonder, is the money there to make it happen? And of the right to be the right size, and will we put it in the right spot? I think that's always a question to ask, because the pyramid, you know, would we put it on ground that's sinking into the Mississippi? Somehow Bass Pro enjoys that, I guess, but
it's right up their alley, right up their vibe.
Like, right, that's the vibe.
You literally drive your boat out into the river after you purchase it. It's fantastic.
But I mean, the pyramid looks looks great from the skyline. But yeah, I think there's a couple of questions. The AutoZone Park, the renovations inside. Do you think, David, that that's going to improve the attendance?
Well, we got to do something, man.
Is that going to improve?
Like, I looked this up because it was July and I had nothing else to do a couple weeks ago. And I was looking up because I saw a highlight of one of these Cardinals players was down in Memphis on a rehab assignment. And he hits this, like, 470-foot bomb. But I noticed as he was running the bases, oh, my God, there's nobody there. There's nobody at AutoZone Park right now. Whereas, you know, when I was a kid, AutoZone Park had just opened up.
Right.
It was like a thing to do, like at least a couple of times a year.
It was definitely the thing to do.
No matter how far distant of a suburb you lived in, you went to a Redbirds game. And, that isn't necessarily the case anymore, and that the attendance figures reflect that. Because for the most recent available year where there was data on it, I mean, the attendance had dropped from, I think, of a peak of around 10,000 average from around the time it opened to in the neighborhood of 3,000 a couple of years back. And so we got to do something to enhance that and get that back.
Is fixing the seats the problem, though, at AutoZone Park?
I think it's a bigger question, man, don't you? Like, about just getting people back downtown in general.
That's what I think. And that's also with the Grizzlies. Like, the people are talking, they need to remodel. I don't know if fixing up the inside of FedEx Forum is going to get more people to go there. I think it's in pretty good shape for people who go to there. Right? Redbirds, yes. AutoZone Park, you hear stories about seats are busted or whatever. But if you're at AutoZone Park and your seat's broken that you're sitting in, you can just move a few seats down.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody's sitting there. And I don't think it's going to impact your experience as much. But the big thing is as you point out, what will get more people to go? I think fixing the chairs is not going to get more people.
It's this mixed-use thing, man.
I guess I hope we can do it. And that's what I hope we can get some of these same people who came together.
COVID hurt the momentum, you know, because living downtown 2018, 2019.
Oh, you were living down there.
I was on North Main, right across from the old Union Planners building for about a year or so. And
you keep talking about doing something with you.
Yeah, and at that time, right, there was a lot of momentum toward, that old Union Planners building at 100 North Main, that, and then this whole mixed-use idea between AutoZone Park and FedEx Forum. But then COVID happened. Then there were, you know, whatever things that transpired in the downtown area that kind of got people spooked. And now I feel like we're coming out of that. Like, you're talking about the downtown area, undeveloped potential in the downtown area of a top 70 city in this country. Like, the right developer is gonna see what the potential is here. So, but I mean, that's ultimately like what it comes down to. Like, you've got to have the money to make this happen.
You gotta have the money to make it happen. But you feel like what? One big thing I think that's hurting a lot is the safety. People fear that it's not as safe as it once was. And I do think that it can be fixed pretty easily with something like we're talking about, a mixed use area where you can control the space to the point where it feels safer for everybody. Because you never really go to any of these, right? These stadium mixed-use areas by the stadiums and feel unsafe. Because you just feel like you're kind of walking into this, like, and like we keep tying it back to Disney, right? But there's like a bubble. Like you, once you walk to the thing, it's like it's controlled. There is a noticeable border of the area, right? Like this, it's in contained into this space, so it's able to be keeping that space in there clean and safe, and security checkpoints if you need it. But
what's unique about like Atlanta, though, for example, is they were able to go out to Cobb County. They left the core of the city, and that's what nobody wants to see that, right? And that no one's even presenting that as an option. That's not an option here in Memphis. But like
both of the stadiums are FedEx Forum's downtown, ACP downtown, and they're closer than they appear sometimes, right? Like, dude, you would never ever, David, walk with your kid. You might if you had to, right? But you wouldn't think that you would walk from FedEx Forum to AutoZone Park. You would have to go a really long way on your route if you were walking with your kid, right?
Well, no, exactly. So, but I've got it pulled up on a map right here, and it's just like 4 blocks.
It's very close. but every block is a vacant lot.
Yeah, exactly. But that's ripe, ripe for development. What other downtown area of a professional that has professional basketball, AAA baseball, has that much open, undeveloped space in between their two marquee athletic venues right in the heart of town? You don't have to go to Collierville. You don't have to go to Tipton County like the Atlanta Braves did for for their development. It's all right there for the taking. It's just taking longer to get to a point where we're really back to the table with this. But I mean, I think
we're going to be forced with it. Like, I mean, the Grizzlies, going into this week, I was thinking, okay, we needed to connect South Main to FedEx Forum. That's kind of what the Grizzlies want. You have Wiseacre kind of hanging right there, and you have like a few blocks of nothing that you could use to connect South Main, so it could be easily flow from South Main to FedEx Forum. But maybe the logical way to do it is to connect FedEx Forum to the baseball stadium, satisfy both of them, maybe get, based off of budgets, that's also an area that could use
There's a snowball effect in a positive way, right? Because if they're able to make that area more attractive, well, then all of a sudden these other vacant lots south of the Forum that are between the Forum and South Main that have been sitting vacant or been for sale or for lease, oh, wow, we got all these people coming to spend money between AutoZone Park and FedEx Forum with this new mixed-use development. All right, well, all of a sudden now it's more attractive to be south of the Forum as well, and then you really start to fill out that east end of downtown more organically. And I think that's, you know, that's the goal or the aspiration here, to make downtown, you know, a suitable environment for NBA basketball. And it's important, right? Because the lease is up in 28-29. And the lease being up makes it a lot easier if they wanted to relocate. But I'm here to tell you right now, man, like, if you're looking at NBA arenas that are, let's say, undesirable, the FedEx Forum is not at the bottom of that list. Like the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans is far worse. The Moda Center, even in Portland, I would say is not as nice as the FedEx Forum. And those are two markets that are, I think, just as, if not more, ripe for relocation than the Grizzlies. So there, it's not like your back is against the wall and you have to get this right. But you could really make it an attractive place for the Grizzlies to be forever if you're able to get this right. And I think that's probably the most important thing. Rather than just doing something or throwing some crazy tax incentive at a development company to get them in here to start building, like, no, do this right. Because if you do it right, you could be talking about kind of the anchor district of downtown in conjunction with Beale Street, of course, you know, for generations to come. It could be transformative.
No, all right. And doing it right. How is that done? Is this done behind the scenes with people who have so much more money than us? Is that how this is done? I mean, we need to have Pitt Hyde in the same room as the president of Lowe's and Richard Smith, and they need to figure out a way to get the corporate. Because I just feel like I don't know how much money we have, right? We don't have that much, but. And I like playing fantasy. People like playing fantasy football. I like playing fantasy. SimCity. I'm the local billionaire.
Yeah, right.
But
fantasy real estate.
Fantasy real estate here. But, I mean, that's what we need to think about. Like, so in L.A., there's like L.A. Live, right? Like, let's have Lowe's Live. Like, come on. You like the Tigers. Let's enhance this space. Slap your naming rights on whatever this mixed-use project is. So AutoZone Park, call it The Zone. I don't, you know, AutoZone, they already got the name on one of the stadiums, but it could be The Zone right there. Like, get some naming rights on whatever this mixed-use development is. That seems easier similar to me, right? I got, because all of it helps the Tigers and the Grizzlies and the Redbirds at one time if you can build something to connect them both.
It's kind of an easy sell, right? Because it's pretty rare that you're going to have, what, 70-something Redbirds home games a year.
Right.
You're going to have...
And at different times a year, too, right, than the Tigers and the Grizzlies.
Right. Yeah. And then another 40-plus, really, if you count preseason, Grizzlies home games a year. You're going to have around 20 Tigers home games a year. I realize there's some overlap between the Redbirds and the Tigers and the Grizzlies, and there could be some nights where they have, you know, games on the same day, but you're talking about over 100 nights a year, not to mention concerts, not to mention other events, right, where there's going to be foot traffic down here in this area. If you're just talking Major League Baseball, it's 81 or whatever. If you're just talking NBA, you can't really justify it. But when you talk about the whole package, you know, so these things all work in concert. The news this week about AutoZone Park, some of the discussion that Chris Harrington got into over at the Daily Memphian in his mailbag about the FedEx Forum, it all kind of works together to a certain extent. And, you know, I'll say this too, like obviously relocation got brought up in Harrington's mailbag, and that's been a, not talking about the Grizzlies specifically, but about Seattle and their appetite for an NBA team. And the possibility that it might not be an expansion team, but rather a relocation team, right? And so, of course, people want to kind of panic and think about, you know, the Grizzlies being in that realm. I don't think that's like necessarily a massive major concern for me right now, because as I mentioned, man, that Smoothie King Center, I've covered games in that thing, dude. It's bad. It's really bad. So, well,
but the one thing, like, I'd be more at ease if the Pelicans were owned by somebody who was not from New Orleans, right? Like the ownership with the Pelicans, he'd have to sell the team.
Yeah, it's a Benson family, I think. Yeah. But yeah.
So that would be the only reason that. But Memphis is on the. I mean, the great news is as far as we know, Para enjoys owning this team and has never acted like he wants to move it.
Oh, and what I was going to say is if the NBA thought Robert Para was about to sell the Grizzlies, would the NBA have sent the Grizzlies over to be the first team in Europe if in 5 years they weren't even going to be located in Memphis and might have a different nickname, right? Like, that to me is another tell.
Well, they'll keep the name. Well, I guess if they go to Seattle, they won't. They'll go back to the Supersonics.
Right, like they could be the Seattle.
Seattle seems going to be the Supersonics. Yeah. They've got the rights to the name.
Right, so like, I don't know. That would seem to me a really poor business decision to send a team over to Europe to highlight this new initiative if that team is going to have a different brand and a different home city in 5 years. So, you know, I almost kind of, from that standpoint, interpreted it as a good sign that the NBA thought the Grizzlies were a fit franchise to be sent over there to Europe.
I saw it as them not caring about Memphis and not understanding Memphis and understanding how important the Martin Luther King Jr. game is.
It's both.
Right? So it's a little bit of, I feel like Memphis is getting treated like the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what I feel like. We're Jacksonville. And we should be Jacksonville, another story. We should have the team that Jacksonville has in the NFL, but that's another story. And it all comes down to stadium issues. I want to be proactive, right? Like, I was listening, you listen, people say, don't worry. It's not a time to worry. And I'm not worrying about the stadium stuff. I'm trying to strategize because I think you can't just sit back and say, hey, don't worry, man. Everything's going to be okay. But you got to be proactive. You can't take for granted what you have. And you got to know that you got to come up with a plan. How can we keep this great thing that we have that we need to have? Because we know if we don't have it, it's going to be bad. So there's nothing wrong with strategizing and figuring out the best scenario to make something successful. So it's not worrying. It's just being realistic. Memphis is one of the smallest markets in the NBA. The current commissioner is not as big a fan as the previous commissioner. They did just say, we don't want to expand, but we do want a team in Seattle. So what does that mean? That means one thing. We also know they want a team in Las Vegas as well. So, like, I feel like even if the Pelicans move to Seattle, it's not meaning we can't, you know, the Las Vegas Grizzlies could be hanging around as well. But it's not happening anytime soon, but it's like finally entered the conversation, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, we went decades without ever talking about this being something that could happen.
Yeah, right. And I also think on-court performance is a massive part of this. If I'd be more concerned right now if after the Desmond Bane trade, as so many national media members assumed, that was the beginning of a full-on fire sale and that Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. were going to be traded and they were going to build it down and start it back from the beginning. Like, I would be way more concerned today about franchise relocation if that's the route they had taken. But no, that's not the route they took. They're still planning to be competitive in the West and to go forward with Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. as a part part of the core of this franchise. And I don't know that you necessarily do that if you're planning a sale or a relocation of any sort. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, they got to get the lease deal done. They got to get the lease deal done. But reading between the lines with what the Daily Memphian has reported and what's in here with Chris Harrington, that's going to get done. It just sounds like, sort of as Chris lays out, that they're just trying to use their leverage, their position here of, hey, you know, we really want to stay here. Forum is where we want to be. We want to be anchor tenants of downtown Memphis. But, you know, what about some of these other projects around here that have been in the works and been talked about for years? What do we got to do to get the ball rolling on that? Because, daggum, we've seen what kind of money you guys were willing to put up to get Memphis into the Big 12.
Right.
What if we put some of that towards right here instead of sending all that money out to BYU and Baylor and Arizona and
right.
Arizona State?
Invest here.
I mean, I'm just saying like that.
You preach at the choir. This is exactly what I'm saying. We know the money is there. And if I'm the Grizzlies, I'm not upset, but I definitely can notice, like, wait a minute. All right, it's time for something. I think it's realistic. The Big 12 news made it seem like there is money there. And even the news this week, you know, XAI is here too. Like, do we need to further our partnership with this large?
Well, there's a lot of people who say that's a bad idea. But I think it's a good idea because you need money.
Like, you need money. They're giving money to the schools.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can slap their name on whatever this mixed-use project is downtown, because it's going to be tricky to build. We talk about it in theory. We got to get to Eric Hasseltine in just a minute, but maybe we can revisit this, because I just don't – it's – what do you put there is the real question outside of, yes, apartments. I'm sure you could find one more hotel that hasn't built in downtown Memphis.
Well, it's like, yeah, the problem is, like, you don't want to rob, like, the vibrancy of South Main. You don't want to detract from whatever momentum may be on North Main, because there's only so many – dollars to go around. You know, if you open up new restaurants and new shops in a new mixed use district near the Forum, and then some of the South Main businesses suffer, like, that's, you know, that's not ideal. But you know, so that's the challenge, right? In that, it all gets back to getting more people downtown.
What makes sense for you to go? Like, I mean, you can't put a movie. Most of these mixed use projects have movie theaters. Malco is the movie theater chain in this town. They've got a downtown theater already on South Main, so it wouldn't have a movie theater, hotels, apartments, even a park. The most simplest thing to me when I travel is a parking garage. Give me a parking garage over a parking lot any day of the week. Can we not just get some more parking garages?
Oh gosh,
right? Just get another parking garage.
Nothing gets me more fired up than a nice parking garage.
Just put another parking garage. I would rather walk by a parking garage than an empty lot. So at night, where are you walking by? There's going to be a parking garage. You'd rather walk by. It's a very simple, like, everywhere. You at a stadium, park in a garage, and that solves your
parking. Yeah, but then the stairwells start to smell like pee, Kevin, and then it's, you know, it's a whole problem.
We gotta park somewhere. Why do we gotta park?
You gotta pee somewhere too, I guess. I mean,
we're such a vacant parking lot city. It's just, it's insane. Like, you go to a game at Simmons Bank, and you gotta park in somebody's grass or something. Like, can we just be like some civilized people in this city and, like, let's start parking in some garages? Anyway, I don't know what else we would put. I'm not excited by parking lot. I'm just saying it's an easy fit.
Well, they already put Topgolf out at, like, the Germantown line, right? So you can't bring in a Topgolf.
Although bowling's at the pyramid, but I mean, indoor golf is a thing. Maybe that. I don't know what brands could build there. Maybe could you do a gym? You live downtown. Does downtown need a gym as what? Part of it or something?
I mean, yeah, like. Yeah, we could always use more gyms, right? Like, a healthier community is a great thing, but I don't know. You got to have the residential mass to support that, right?
Yeah, and a downtown Mem Pops. I know that would work. A Mem Pops downtown, but I don't know if people are going to drive for that. So I don't know. We'll revisit this, I'm sure, as it goes along. But we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, he is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. He is making sure his passport is up to date. We will talk to Eric Hasseltine when we return to the company here on 92.9 FM ESP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome back to this special edition of And Company. Kevin Cerrito here, David Cobb. And we're being joined now by the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine. Eric, is your passport up to date?
It is active. I plan on using it in September and to go to Toronto. I honestly don't know what will happen. I'm excited the team's going over there. We haven't been told whether we will be there or not. I know in a preseason game once upon a time in Barcelona, we did not go.
Okay.
And I know some of the guys that did the Paris games last year, I'm not sure. I think it's kind of a team decision. I would really relish that opportunity for sure. But if for some reason, you know, we were not able to make the trip and the team goes, we understand that too. So it's above my pay grade. When they say just be here for the game, I'll be there. So yes, but my passport is up to date. I think it's great exposure for the team. The wild thing about those games overseas is usually they take place in the middle of the day. So hopefully people will be able to break away from work or on their lunch hour, watch them play the Magic a couple times.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I need you to convince me that I should not be upset that there's not going to be Martin Luther King Jr. Day game, that there's not going to be a Desmond Bane return game. A lot of fans, people who follow this team are kind of like, well, these are two games I really wanted to go to next season. Right. I'm not going to be able to go to.
Yeah, I get that. You know, we'll start with the Desmond return game. You can still do that moving forward. Obviously a lot less historical significance to that than being on Martin Luther King Day, which is a phenomenal event and has occurred here basically every season except the first. And after the first season, just so many memories on that day and so many incredible athletes and humanitarians that have been honored with the Sports Legacy Award and, you know, people who we knew as tremendous basketball players, football players, baseball players. I mean, everybody from Bill Russell to Willie Mays to Jim Brown to, you know, newer stars and pioneers, Candace Parker, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is right in the middle of that. You know, for me personally, for so many years, I would get to sit down with the honorees for, you know, 10 minutes apiece. And to think I've shared a couch with Oscar Robertson, Jim Brown, we didn't really talk to Willie Mays just because at his age, you he wasn't comfortable doing interviews, and then his people profusely apologized, which I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. I just was happy to shake his hand. But to sit down with Jim Brown, to sit down with my hero growing up and Dr. J and Julius Erving and, take your pick. I'm looking at the basketball I've had signed by a lot of these people over the years, and it's a long list of Hall of Famers. So I think that I'll miss that part of getting to know them on a human level of what the award meant to them. And I think for our fans, it's an opportunity when we honor them. There's not usually a dry eye, you know, in the building when you look up and you hear at the symposium, which Pete always does a great job hosting, and Elliot Perry's up there, of what their trials and tribulations have been moving forward with, you know, progression and civil rights and things like that. So I get why fans are upset about that. I would be more upset like the 1 year that the NBA kind of dropped the ball and moved the game to Sunday instead of Monday. And I think they played Chicago that time, and people were like, it's not Martin Luther King Day. That's tomorrow. And, you know, their excuse was the way the schedule broke, they didn't feel like they could get it at the same time slot, and they wanted Atlanta to have an opportunity. And everybody just said, we can't let that happen again, Atlanta and Memphis every time. This is obviously a different deal. And, you know, for me, I think sometimes, yes, it's a phenomenal event, but you have an opportunity to also grow the game, grow the brand. And if the league sees fit for your organization to be part of that, I think that's a boost for your team. So, yes, it's painful that the event won't happen, but if you look on the positive side of it, for a team that has kind of had their image and popularity dinged up over the last couple of years for multiple things, and, you know, including injuries and playoff, you know, exits because of those injuries, to have them say, hey, we want you to go represent our organization overseas, and we think that you can show people in Europe like what NBA basketball is all about. I think that's a big, you know, that's a big pat on the back. And I think that's a good thing too. I mean, sure, you know, obviously the bell cow franchises are the Lakers and the Celtics and the Knicks and even the Bulls because of the Jordan years. But to get picked to do that and go over there, you know, when you're a small market team, the way the Grizzlies are, let's be honest, we don't have a German player on our team. There's no German guys there unless I'm missing something. And there's nobody in
maybe some Germantown, maybe some Germantown players. Maybe
some Germantown love, but you know, you understand why the Spurs go to France. Tony Parker, Boris Diaw, who played with them at the end of his career, now with Victor Wembanyama, and you're like, okay, I get that. You'll get one day why, you know, if Richachet turns out to be the type of player a lot of people believe he can be, why the Atlanta Hawks would go play in France, maybe even against the Spurs. But to get picked, I think you have to look at it as a positive. And, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Kev, but as I would say, like, you know, you got to sometimes just accept the pat on the back, and it may put something else on the back burner, but it doesn't mean it's gone forever. And I don't think that that's any indication. I've heard people, you know, scuttlebutting about, well, this could mean that the lease and all these other things that they're working on are in trouble. I don't look at it like that. They're two totally separate events. I think that's silliness. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was, to be transparent, I got wind of this probably 3-4 weeks ago. It was very tight-lipped over at the offices. I couldn't get anybody to answer. And usually when they don't answer, you kind of infer like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen, I think. But I never wanted to say anything because I didn't want to be the one that said it's going to happen, and then it didn't for whatever reason. So when they finally made it official, that was I was happy for the team.
Well, last thing on this topic. There's been speculation since the news broke. Like, were the Grizzlies asked if they wanted to do this, or were they told that they were going to do this? What would you say to that?
I mean, I'm sure they had to ask, because if you said, hey, you're going over there, that's not how the NBA generally operates. Maybe they did. Maybe I'm way off base. But I would think that they said, hey, would you be interested? We would like you to go. Would you be interested in doing this? It's a lot, you know. obviously, I talked to my colleagues with other teams that have gone to foreign countries, whether it's Mexico City, even in preseason. You know, the Kings went to Japan, and I knew a lot of guys with that broadcast group, and I asked them how that was in the Abu Dhabi games and guys going there. And, you know, the travel, it's a little different. That's why when everybody says, oh, they're going to put a team in London one day, you just watch. And I'm like, do you understand how difficult that would be? The London team would have to take basically 2-week road trips at a time. And what do you do with the teams that go over to London to play them once? You're just like, oh, hey, here, hop on a flight from San Francisco to London, go play a single game, maybe stay over the night, and then hop on back to the States, and you're going to play two nights later. That's just going to – it's going to destroy people. So the notion of possibly an NBA Europe division, which I think is great, I don't want to disrespect the Euro basket or the leagues over there, but – you know, if you can add a division over there where you get quality players, I don't think that hurts. You know, so yeah, I'm guessing overall, if I had to guess, and I am guessing, I'm guessing they were asked. I'm guessing it was a discussion. I'm guessing maybe it was a, would you be willing to, or we'd like to send you, what do you think type thing. I don't think they came in with an iron hammer and said, you're going, suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah, so Eric, I understand this from the Orlando perspective. You're playing a game in Berlin. You have Franz Wagner's
they do for sure.
The highest paid player on your roster. I might have thought the Mavs would make a lot of sense here because Dirk Nowitzki obviously introduced that franchise to the country of Germany for so long. The Grizzlies do seem a bit random, but like, what is the upside to maybe being the first team over there or the first couple of teams over there for this regular season series that we're going to see over these next few years? In my mind, I'm kind of thinking, well, I mean, we're going to introduce a slice of Europe to Ja Morant, and maybe they're going to see Grizzlies across the chest or Memphis across the chest, and you know, kind of just get introduced to that brand in a way that they never would have before.
I think that you just hit the nail on the head. I the Mavericks thing, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Mavericks are participating in the Abu Dhabi games in the preseason. Are they not going to or for wherever? Why am I blanking on the super rich country that has Dubai, the Dubai games or something like that? I thought the Mavs were part of that. Maybe they're not. And I know they've gone in recent years, so maybe that's the other reason you don't want to send the same team. It's not the NFL where the Jacksonville Jaguars call Wembley Stadium their second home, you know? So, and it's also a little different with football because it's a once a week event. And the Wagners, you know, his brother Mo is on the team as well. So that would make sense for the Orlando Magic, as you said, and it would make sense with the Mavs. But the benefit is, as you said, Cobb, is you now get people to see a team that, you know, Ja Morant's worldwide. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, Ja Morant is worldwide. I've been in Disney World walking around and people from all over the world. If I have a Grizzlies thing, I'll go, oh, Ja Morant, you know, that. Yep, that's right. He's awesome. But I think you just open it up to, you have a chance to earn some fans and to play the game at that high level. That is something that, you know, their professional leagues are solid, but they're not the NBA. We see that when they come over and play exhibition games, and basically NBA teams are like, okay, at what point do you want us to prove to you we can beat you by 60? Because we can. And, you know, to see it at a high level and two good teams that have a chance to be good. I think Orlando obviously has a chance to be very good in the East with all the injuries. And I'm of the belief, and this is not me saying pie in the sky and because they signed my paycheck, I think people are kind of sleeping on the Grizzlies a little bit. Obviously, the West is a gauntlet, but if you have a solid rotation, and again, it always boils down to health, and that's going to be tough in the first, you know, few weeks of the season. But if this team stays relatively healthy after they get Jaren and Zach Edey back, they're going to be tough. I mean, every year they're right around 50 wins, if not more, and challenging for a division. And I get it. Like, you got the best ability, sometimes availability. Well, if they're available, and I still think that the phone lines are not necessarily dead right now. This is a time where you're starting to look like, how can we make our best roster? I would not be surprised to see some other things happen. I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happened. But I think you're going to get to see basketball at a high level and two teams go over and play. And, you know, to be ambassadors of the game, it matters. You know, again, talking to people who went over there and the camaraderie it builds. And let's be honest, it's going to be a relatively new group together. You got a lot of faces that are coming in. You have some guys coming back. You have a new head coach. You have a way to bond, especially not only on the road, but especially overseas. I mean, we did go with the team to Puerto Rico a handful of years ago. I want to say 05. It was a preseason game. And just seeing the guys, Miami Heat and the Grizz, and seeing them all at the same hotel and seeing them down in the restaurants and everybody kind of meeting up and doing the touristy stuff and getting to see the island and being a part of that, it was awesome. Like, I made friends in the Heat organization that are still my friends today. So, and that was 20 years ago. And it was a lot of fun. So I think that's part of it too, is you get a different sense of closeness and you get to experience another part of the culture and, you know, grow your brand. If you're guys of high level, I mean, I'm sure people in Germany know Santi Aldama. He plays in the Olympics. I'm sure their German teams have played against him when he's on Spain. They know Ja. Well, how well do they know Jaren? Other guys that are young and up and coming. And so, yeah, you gain some fans for sure. And you get to be the ambassador of the league, and you go over there and do things the right way. And you're on the, you know, everybody's in good graces with the league. They're going to be, you know, that pleases them, so to speak.
We kind of overlooked this, but there is the Grizzlies connection. Coach Isolo was coaching quite a few teams in Germany in his yeah. career. So he's got that Germany connection. I love the logos of some of the teams that he coached. You should check those out. I mean, they got a scary looking wizard on this Harry Potter birthday was the, was the mascot for one of those teams he was at. But Eric Hasseltine is joining us, joins the show every Thursday. Before we get out of here, I know Cobb wanted to talk to you a little bit about the L.A. Lakers.
Oh, yeah, Eric. The debate that is sweeping NBA circles right now, I need your opinion. 5 years after the bubble, does the Lakers bubble title, does it hold up as a legitimate NBA title?
I saw that come out, and I know Joe very well, who did that for The Athletic. Joe and I have been friends for a few years now. I think it does. In this aspect, everybody went through the same thing. We were 66 games into the year. And, you know, obviously our entire world, not just the NBA, just got, you know, they slammed on the brakes and it got put on hold. I mean, I can tell you exactly where I was, who I was with, what we were doing, what we were watching, and how the next 2 days went. You know, we were on a road trip. We were going to play Portland, San Antonio, and New Orleans, and the entire talk of that game with 20 left after, by the way, dropping a game the night before to Orlando that you needed and had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. You asked me if I can remember that kind of stretch from a normal season. I'm probably going to go, no. But I remember all of this. And so seeing what the parameters were, going down and having to play the seven games outside, you know, to get in. So you had to play seven. You had to catch up to be within one game of the top eight. The Grizzlies were in the eighth spot. Phoenix nearly played their way in. They went down and nearly played their way into the play-in game. The Grizzlies needed to win, and they did, or else they would have been out. Because remember, Jaren got hurt after that monster game. Tyus Jones was out. They felt the ravage of injuries again. You had to go down there. That was not an easy time for people down there. I remember being at Disney on vacation as they opened the parks back up, staying at Disney's Contemporary Resort.
Ooh.
And that's where the games were going to be played. Like, I could look out my hotel room window and see where the makeshift arena was. My friends were across, the Seven Seas Lagoon, which, you know, connects the Ticket and Transportation Center and the Magic Kingdom Park. And so I knew where they were. I could not go over there. I had my NBA badge. I could not go say hello to my friends, to our coach, to our players that were on the trip and cleared by the league. I couldn't even get near 100 feet of the building. To be isolated like that, the mental strain of being away from everybody. I mean, immediate family was okay. But just remember, guys got bounced for ordering Uber Eats. Guys got bounced for mingling with staff of the hotels because those were the only people they were seeing. So you hear these stories and like, yeah, you got kicked out for this. You got kicked out for that. To me, that makes a playoff run even tougher. because now you're dealing with mental aspects you've never done, and you're becoming guys are dropping off like flies. You know, teams are, when you're done, they ain't sticking around. You didn't just have your hotel room in Orlando. The minute you were done, they were gone. So imagine being in one of the, and they, I think they broke it up over four hotels or three hotels and having six teams in each or however it was, or seven teams. Cause I think 21 went. And just imagine you're at a hotel and, you know, you're not really interacting, but you can call people on the phone. And all of a sudden it's just you guys in an empty hotel. That's kind of creepy. That's kind of weird. And so I think it does hold up. Could there have been a different outcome? Of course. You know, the one that that people always wanted to talk about before that was the 1999 Spurs, the Spurs first championship when we played 50 games. And I was like, oh, hold the phone. If I'm not mistaken, weren't the Spurs like 40-10 or 42-8? I'm pretty sure they would have been the one seed and very likely in that NBA finals, but we don't know. And we never will. Cause what could happen in 32 games? What could have happened if we only took the 2 weeks off because the pandemic wasn't as severe as it was and we went back to playing the schedule and just did the makeup game of those 2 weeks? We'll never know. All I know is at the end of the day, the teams that got there played 73 games to get into the postseason. That was a 9-game differential than the norm, and you had to run through the same teams. Nobody really had a home court advantage. I think it holds up. I think people will say, well, there's an asterisk by it. Yeah, you put the asterisk by it to, I think, pay homage to the people that, you know, there were people in the NBA that lost family members. There were people that you know, lost people they cared very much about because of a disease that, you know, put our country on hold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.